the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good Wednesday morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. We've got a lot packed into today's program, so we're jumping right in with the headlines. Today, Brian German is talking with us about banded stream treatments that are showing positive results in research trials. You'll get an update on Grimway Farms that donated $5 million to Cal Poly for organic research. And you know, the 2020 Virtual Almond Conference is just weeks away. And as we sit a day before the holiday, Taylor Hellman talks with the president of the Almond Board of California about what growers can be thankful for. If you are interested in attending the conference, free registration is still being accepted. You can find all of the information about this year's conference by visiting almondconference.com. But before we get into all that, last week I had the opportunity to talk with an agriculture advocate from Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, all about the importance of farmers' engagement with lawmakers and now a new administration. Let's jump right in. An advocate for the ag industry, Michael Torrey represents Edge Dairy Farm Cooperative and gives an example of why farmers need to engage with lawmakers regarding policies that impact their livelihoods.
If you're a farmer, you can no longer sit in your chair and say, someone else is going to do that for me. We are at a point where an intersection, two roads have crossed. One of those roads is the road of who makes up the decision makers. And if we look, and this is just one small example to provide some perspective at the federal level, if we look at the Republican House caucus in January of 2017, and you look at that same caucus and what we expect it to look like in January of 2021, 4 years, about half of the members of that Republican caucus will be gone. They were not in office 4 years ago. And that is a trend that has been increasing, meaning Republican, Democrat, House, Senate. Just as soon as you have somebody who understands your issues or understands your economy or your industry, they're gone. So we, from an advocacy standpoint, have to continue to tell our story even more so than before.
And now here's back-to-back reports with Brian German.
Research trials are showing positive results for banded steam treatments. Two studies conducted between July and September of this year at the USDA Hartnell Farm at Salinas yielded positive results for weed control in lettuce. The two studies looked at using only steam and using a mix of steam and peroxide. Master's student at UC Davis, Nellie Guerra, explained the efficacy of the treatments in managing the most problematic weeds.
So we had some really good weed control data, and the primary weeds we had in this field was hairy nightshade, shepherd's purse, and little mallow. And for the steam treatment, we saw that there is an 89% control compared to the control, which was zero. And then for the steam plus peroxide treatment, we saw 87% control. There wasn't a significant difference between steam and peroxide, but it was pretty consistent within the two trials. And for shepherd's purse, 80% and 91%. And then little mallow, 82% for steam, which is not that great of a control compared to shepherd's purse and hairy nightshade. But for steam and peroxide, we did see that there is a more of a control for little mallow. And so it could be that the exothermic reaction made by the steam and peroxide did have an effect on little mallow.
A new partnership has been forged to help accelerate ag tech innovation. The Western Growers Center for Innovation and Technology is a notable ag tech incubator headquartered in California. Agritech E is a premier agritech innovation network based in the United Kingdom. The two will be collaborating in an effort to accelerate innovation in field harvest automation. The partnership was formally announced during the recent Realizing Economic Agricultural Potential Conference. Agritech E is a business-focused organization supporting the growth of a world-leading network of innovative farmers, scientists, technologists, and entrepreneurs. Western Growers represents family farmers in California, Arizona, Colorado, and New Mexico. The partnership will bring together a variety of resources from the U.S. and the U.K. to work towards advancing field harvest automation and food safety solutions. For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Thanks, Brian. And it is time for us to head out for a quick break, but we'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news, including today's livestock report with Randall Wiseman when we return. Don't forget, though, if you've missed any of our morning shows or simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have statewide agriculture news at your convenience. All you have to do is search Farm City Newsday on your favorite podcast downloading app. That's Farm City Newsday. It's available on both Apple and Android devices. Again, you're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. We'll be right back. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. And now here's Brian German with more agriculture news.
Grimway Farms recently made a substantial donation to help advance research in the organic sector. The Cal Poly College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences received a $5 million donation from Grimway Farms. Through the generous donation, Cal Poly will expand its emphasis on applied research in organic production and soil health. The Grimway Farms donation will be used to launch the Center for Organic Production and Research on campus. The gift will help provide a collaborative platform for academia, industry, and government to come together to advance the organic industry. The partnership will establish a unique learning model to enable research and innovation across disciplines, focusing on real-world issues that impact organic production. The donation will also be used to build the Grimway Farms Cal Organic Soil Health and Sustainability Laboratories to provide research and teaching opportunities in topics related to healthy soils, water, and air. For Agnet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Thanks, Brian. And you know, with Thanksgiving just a day away, it might be time to think about that bird that's sitting in your freezer. You know, there's an old saying that says a job slowly done is surely done. And that may be particularly true when it comes to thawing out that frozen turkey. Let's take a listen to this report where USDA's Gary Crawford talks with Meredith Carruthers with the USDA Meat and Poultry Hotline.
So you've bought that frozen turkey, now you need to thaw it out. Some people just leave it sitting out on the counter all day long. Bad move.
Thawing at room temperature is the thing that kind of dooms people's Thanksgiving from the start.
Dooms. Meredith Carruthers with the Ag Department's Meat and Poultry Hotline says first, by the time the inside of the turkey thaws, the outside's been at room temperature for hours, allowing bacteria to grow.
Those then could create heat-resistant toxins that won't be killed by the cooking process. And then if you eat those, it could essentially make you sick.
So Meredith says,
thawing in the refrigerator is going to be the safest method of thawing.
It keeps things below 40 degrees, too cold for bacteria to grow, but you need to plan for that longer thawing time.
It'll take about 24 hours for every 5 pounds of turkey.
So you do the math on that. I'm terrible at numbers, except for the number of the Meat and Poultry Hotline, where you can get answers to your holiday meal questions. Call 1-888-MP-HOTLINE. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Well, in today's livestock news, it was recently discussed during the U.S. Meat Export Federation Strategic Planning Conference that chilled and ground seasoned pork are major drivers for U.S. pork over in Japan. With more on that story, here's Joe Sheely.
At the U.S. Meat Export Federation Strategic Planning Conference, Vice President of Marketing Jesse Austin updated pork producers and exporters on two key areas that drive U.S. pork exports to Japan, chilled pork and ground seasoned pork. More details are in this USMEF report.
We look at the year-to-date situation, total chilled imports into Japan up 2%. U.S. chilled pork volume off slightly at 1% below last year, while Canada has actually increased 3% year over year. I do want to add some context to this trend. Canadian production this year up 4.6%, and they have multiple plants delisted for China. So they are under tremendous pressure to keep chilled pork moving to Japan, and we expect a continued battle at the retail case. However, I do want to point out we still hold the largest market share in chilled pork to Japan, currently around 48%. Ground seasoned pork, typically produced from boneless picnics, a crucial volume driver for our total Japan exports. Total imported GSP going into Japan through September, down 1%. Meanwhile, U.S. volume is actually up 27%, coming largely at the expense of Germany and Canada. we represent roughly 73% of the market share in the GSP business, a significant jump from 53% a year ago. 60% of processed pork in Japan is Arabiki-style sausages, and sales are up for this product line. What's driving this is the retail surge that we've seen globally, this trend towards convenience products. Important point on GSP, we need to continue to watch. September imports GSP from all of our competitors was the largest we've seen since October 2019. Starting and stopping a GSP operation, not a quick process. Facilities have to be brought up to speed. Labor force has to be trained. So we're going to continue to monitor this trend, see if possibly some of these competitors are getting back into the space after having shifted their focus towards China productions.
For more information, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm Joe Sheely.
Thanks, Joe. And the American Sheep Industry Association wants producers to know this month's ASI Research Update podcast features Dr. John Tomachek of Texas A&M University and Dan Makin of the University of California Cooperative Extension. They are discussing predator management tools of the non-lethal variety. Makin said, even those of us who are committed to using non-lethal tools also take our jobs as shepherds very seriously, and part of that job is to be responsible for all of our sheep at all times. He said, so I think finding a fresh kill does create that mindset that you want to go out and take care of that problem, but it's also more complicated than that. Coming from a wildlife background, Dr. Tomachek says predators are a part of a natural ecosystem. To learn more about this and hear that podcast, simply go to sheepusa.org. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
Supermarket food prices for 2020 may average higher than had been expected before. USDA's Gary Crawford talks with the USDA economist in this report.
Back in January, Agriculture Department food price economists were forecasting that food prices at the grocery store this year would rise 0.5% to maybe 1.5% over 2019. But in May, the pandemic started to affect food supplies and prices, and the forecast went up to 2-3%. In June, they raised it to 2.5-3.5%, and they have stuck to that forecast until now.
We're now predicting prices to increase from 3-4%.
USDA economist Carolyn Chelius told us,
we haven't really seen the price decreases that we were hoping to see in the categories that spiked due to the pandemic this spring. So meats, for example, have been really slow to retreat.
Beef prices, for example, last month they only fell 0.3%. They're still 10% higher than a year ago. Meanwhile, Chelius says prices for some other foods have gone up over the last month, including fresh fruits and vegetables. She says things should settle down in 2021 with grocery store food prices set to rise.
We're predicting all food to increase between 2-3%, and specifically food away from home or restaurant food prices to increase between 2-3%, and then grocery store food prices to increase between 1-2%.
You're listening to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. We'll be right back. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Now let's get into more agriculture news with Taylor Hillman.
Today's specialty crop news brought to you by the Almond Board of California. You can find them online at almonds.com. It may be hard to reflect on 2020 and identify some things that you're thankful for tomorrow. The Almond Board of California's president and CEO, Richard Waycott, agrees, but he said there are a few personal and industry-related things that growers can think about. He said aside from the COVID-19 pandemic creating some family time he may not have had otherwise this year, there were some significant strides made in export markets. We're now talking with the Almond Board of California CEO, Richard Waycott. Richard, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, and it's great to talk to you.
We saw a little bit of rain in the valley areas, early rain, which is nice as we start to close out the year here. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. 2020 has not been what we expected. One of the biggest disruptors I think we've ever seen in this COVID-19 pandemic, at least in a lot of our lifetimes. And this is a time we need to turn around and reflect on some stuff. And there is some stuff to be thankful for, right?
There's no doubt that 2020 for everybody probably was the most disruptive year we've maybe ever had in our lives, and maybe in this industry as well. We had so many things thrown at us in addition to COVID or COVID-related things as well. And we're going to reflect on some of that at the conference that coming up next month that I know we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, I think that the attitude that I've adopted, and I've really tried to communicate and did so in my monthly letter that went out with the last position report, I think that we can get overwhelmed by, you know, certain parts of the news cycle and everything that's going on. And we can very easily lose sight of a lot of the wonderful things that are happening and unique things. And I think that's the really remarkable thing for me, is all the unique sort of learnings that took place this year. And that's, you know, with our families and changing our life patterns around. And I know some of those are really challenging and not fun, but I'm sure everybody learned a lot from those. Obviously, you know, being with our families more and maybe reacquainting in certain ways that we hadn't had the chance. Or in my case, I have adult children and I was able to have them home for quite a while and never expected that was going to happen again. And then just, you know, how we adapted at work, and in the case of the Almond Board, going 100% virtual for months, you know, and being able to keep the programs running with very high efficiency and productivity. And so I just think that you know, we've all actually gained something out of this year that we would not have if this hadn't happened. So that's putting it in I know the best light probably, and I just feel so awful for the ongoing struggles of the health care professionals and teachers and, you know, parents with little kids at home and so on. I know there's a lot of struggle and strife out there, but I do think we've all had unique learnings through this very unique year.
Definitely. I think, you know, people will try and see past the frustrations with distance learning and all of that. Working at home and realize that we did get to spend some family time, which is what you touched on there. As far as the industry goes, there was some good things this year. I mean, I know it's hard to say, but you know, a record crop and growth in some areas that we may not have seen if it wasn't for the current situation in certain markets in the pandemic.
Yeah, again, very unique year. We certainly in the domestic market did get a little bump out of the sort of panic buying that went on back in April and May, but that, you know, quickly returned to normal. I think we finished up the 1920 crop year in July with 4.5% increase in shipments, and that's a record year. Of course, these last 3 months have just been off the charts in terms of increased shipments globally. So we have had a lot of demand for our product at a time where the economy was sort of in a very insecure place, when we had, you know, real problems in India, our largest export market, last spring with their lockdown, the continuing, you know, tariffs in China that have inhibited us being able to really take advantage of that market. But with all these things, we've been able to power on and achieve record sales volumes. Pricing has suffered, unfortunately, through this because of the advent of the 3 billion pound crop, which we still can't confirm, but it looks like we're headed very much in that direction. And the uncertainties in the world, I think, just contributed to pricing being under pressure. But I'm sure we'll work through that and get into a better place in the pricing mechanisms as well. So, as you say, I think, you know, we have harvested, you know, the largest crop ever by far this year, and we got through it, and the plants did well, the growers did well. We had the capacity to handle this. And so I think, again, right, looking back, there's a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that you've talked about before with us a lot is diversity. In those export numbers, you mentioned India, China. You know, we've had some pretty big disruptions in some major markets for us. And we got to be thankful as an industry for the diversification that we have out there to be able to weather something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do harp on that, as you say, a lot, because we're unique and not all industries have that advantage. And so with, you know, recent years with China being under pressure with these tariffs, we've been able to ship elsewhere and make up that volume. When India went through their problems earlier this year, again, we were able to ship some volume elsewhere. And then India just came roaring back. I mean, the first 3 months of this year, they're up over 100% from last year. I mean, we've shipped over 100 million pounds there in 3 months. Unbelievable. So yeah, that's a real strength of this business. And we very strategically, focus on maintaining that, because that is a strength, and we don't want to get too lopsided in any one region or certainly any one country.
Yeah. So happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully everybody tomorrow can enjoy themselves and be thankful for stuff and enjoy their family. After that, it's time to start gearing up for the Almond Conference. You guys are raring to go on the virtual 2020 Almond Conference. We're now just 2 weeks away. So we're getting ready for this.
Yes, we are. And we've been working very, very hard. We made the decision to go virtual back in June. And believe me, it's been a full court press since then. I think the industry and people from all over the world that will be attending will be very impressed and pleased with the virtual experience that they will be having. And I really encourage everyone to attend. It's the 8th, 9th, and 10th. It's the morning hours from 8 to noon, where we'll have keynote speeches and the three different tracks of presentations of different material. And then in the afternoons, we'll have the opportunity to see the research results from this year, as well as visit with the exhibitors. And I understand you have a booth there, Taylor, that they can visit as well.
We do, yes. You can always go to the exhibitors. Check out all of the exhibitors there. They'll have virtual booths. It's actually kind of cool. You can download information and get information without having to walk around the trade show floor and go up to people or wait for people to be available. So it makes it kind of easy. Again, almondconference.com is the best way to do that. You can register for free still. Almond Board of California's President and CEO, Richard Wacott. Richard, thank you for your time.
My pleasure, and it's such a great collaboration that we have with you throughout the year, and I wish you and your family all the best at Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Reporting for Agnet West Radio Network, I'm Taylor Hillman.
Thanks, Taylor. And it is time for us to head out for a quick break. But remember, you can catch any of today's reports just by heading on over to our website, www.agnetwest.com, for more information. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Common Ground, a group of women farmers connecting with non-farm consumers, celebrates 10 years of service this month. Common Ground is a grassroots group of women farmers in 20 different states having conversations about the food they grow. Common Ground farmers volunteer their time to share personal experiences, as well as science and research, to help consumers sort through the myths and misinformation surrounding food. Common Ground volunteer and farmer from Minnesota, Lauren Biegler, says this.
Common Ground is a group of women farmers, but we span all types of agriculture, that just love to have conversations with consumers about our farms, what we do on our farms, and the things that we produce on our farms, and why we make the decisions that we do on our farms. We definitely like to target other women, and primarily that urban, suburban mom, so people that are primarily in charge of the purchasing and preparing food for their household.
She adds, the conversations tend to focus on hot-button topics.
The things you always hear about, GMOs, hormones, antibiotic use in meat, and we know that there is a lot of information out there, and there's a lot of really good stuff, but there's also a lot of myths and misinformation out there. So I think what we try to do is put a face to farming for a lot of these consumers. We also know that consumers are getting more and more removed from the farm, so they may not even have access to a farmer. So sometimes we think that they have concerns about an issue, but for some consumers, it can just be actually meeting a farmer, because some people never have.
You can learn more about their work by visiting findourcommonground.com. An AFB contributed to this report. And in more agriculture news, more people this year are turning to canning to preserve food. Yet many first-time canners may not understand the food safety or science behind this method. USDA's Rod Bain has more in this report.
Home canning as a food preservation method has seen an uptick in 2020, a year where more people raise gardens and produce more fruits and vegetables. Marissa Budding of Colorado State University Extension explains.
We started getting calls from consumers who wanted to be able to preserve the vegetables that they had grown, but they weren't familiar with canning.
Yet there have been additional challenges on top of the learning curve for first-time home canners.
There was a big demand for canning supplies and also for canning equipment, which created a shortage, particularly with the lids that are required for canning and also with the equipment, the pressure canners.
As well as a shortage of vinegar, an important part of canning recipes. The result was many first-time canners turning to yard sales and thrift shops to find canning supplies. Budding says that has led to concerns about first-time canners understanding basic food safety methods and following specific scientific methods in food preservation. I'm Rod Bin reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And rounding out our show today with information on an upcoming webinar. We've spoken a bit about COVID-19 workplace standards here on our show. However, we know there are plenty of questions still being asked by agriculture employers when it comes to California leave, workers' comp, notice of outbreaks, housing, testing, and so much more in regard to the coronavirus. Luckily for you, FELS is hosting a webinar next month with answers to those questions, including a breakdown of that new Cal/OSHA COVID standard that was recently adopted. The webinar is December 17th at 10 a.m. And guess what? You can view it on your computer, tablet, or phone, really anywhere you have internet. You should, however, register online before the webinar starts. For more information, visit FELS.net.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. You can follow Agnet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgnetWest. Follow Brian German with @BrianAgnetWest, Danielle Leal with @DLealAgnetWest, and Taylor Hillman with @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.